Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday night, and hello to you, my amigo. How you feeling today?
Good. Nice ride home.
Yeah. Well, you were working late last night. I had to go up to L.A. Funeral last night. Another guy went down.
Mm-hmm. Actually, two people died.
Yeah, two people died. He went down and took his girlfriend with him. But right away, because he's a biker, try to say drugs and alcohol. But apparently, the autopsy said he just had a heart attack. Philip, it was his time to go. Doesn't matter if you dig the biggest hill, the biggest hole, rather, you jump inside it. If it's your day, it's your day. Anyway, enjoy doing his doing, riding his motorcycle, and I hope that he had the heart attack. He felt nothing when he hit the pavements and all that. But still, if that's the way you choose to go, that's the way you're going to go. And besides that, if you don't choose it, if it's your day again, it's your day. Boys and girls, why do you try to be afraid of life? You don't want to be told, wild man, crazy man, but if it's your day to go, you can't avoid it at all.
Nope, there's no negotiation. Mm-hmm. Even though they try and save you, it still depends on the negotiators, what they're doing.
I went to a nice little get-together on Sunday. Some car club invited me to a little get-together for a barbecue. It was a car club, but they had interesting choices of motorcycles. The president of the car club, he has a Honda Goldwing with a suicide shift on it. Not a single piece of metal, sheet metal on the bike still except for the gas tank. The bike was crazy. His cars were crazy. I had a good time up there, though. They're all young guys. Gave me a little different perspective, you know? Uh-huh. Didn't see any other stock motorcycles up there but mine only.
You know, Bill, I read something the other day that kind of really pissed me off. Because I guess you can shoot these guys, but you can't fart in front of them.
Oh, we're talking about those desert people here.
There we go. It seems that the report says Marines were told to mind audible emissions. Troops warned that passing gas is rude. Marine Corps has apparently opened a new front, or perhaps more appropriately, a rear guard action. In its battle for hearts and minds in Afghanistan, the Leathernecks, the South Central Asian nation, have been instructed to refrain from audibly passing gas because the Afghan troops they work with consider it particularly rude. Want to comment on that there, buddy?
I'd like to say it's okay to kill them, we just can't pass gas. I'd like to make a quick comment, too, that, you know, those airplanes that are over there, They can't say fuck the Taliban. They cannot paint that on their motorcycle, on their airplane, excuse me. However, they could drop bombs and kill hundreds of people.
Right.
They can't use any type of profanity on their airplane.
Well, apparently, Bill, this order stems from Marines trying to outdo one another at a volume scale.
I don't want to be rude. You know, I wasn't in the Marine Corps. You were, but I thought it was kind of like a military tradition.
Yeah.
So I don't see what the problem is, you know.
At the Pentagon headquarters of the Marine Corps, a spokesman referred to the inquiry about the matter to counterparts at Camp Leatherneck. So in other words, he passed the buck. Here's the guys you need to call. primary Marine Corps base in Afghanistan's Helmand province. While there was no immediate response from the outpost, the blog post, let me turn the page.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We don't like what our boys are doing. Send our boys home.
Now, Bill, okay? We had a guy actually died over the weekend on his motorcycle. And can you tell me where that article was? On the front page, Bill.
Yeah, about passing gas.
Our friend didn't even make it to the open.
No.
Okay? So as we scroll on down here, the report labeled blast warning.
Yeah.
You got that, right? Blast warning remains on the Marine Corps Times website under its battle rattle posting. Posted last week by reporter, I'm going to give her name. The blog points out that audible flatus has been banned for some Marines because it offends the Afghans. Deploying Marines routinely attend lectures on cultural awareness and sensitivity before they leave for Afghanistan, hoping that their actions don't offend the local population. The cultural instructions include eating with your right hand when sharing a meal with an Afghan, avoid swearing, no touching of women. The post about passing gas has been picked up on a dozen military-related blogs, many of which include regular comments making jokes about the directive or taking offense that troops at war are receiving this admonishment. Fueling the banter over the directive is the reference to expelling flatus as practically a sport for the Marines. Well, you know, Bill, when I was stationed at Courthouse Bay at Camp Lejeune.
Yeah.
This guy, his name was Wayne Dijonet. I think I still have a picture somewhere. He's sitting in the shithouse with a gas mask on, with a big lighter, lighting farts.
Well, that's tradition, I thought, for God's sakes. All right, let's flip the script for a second, because
sure.
They are trying to understand that they are in a foreign country, and they have different rights. And
what about
our
rights?
However, I believe that anything those guys do on the military post should be their own business. Maybe not going downtown, dropping their pants, and, you know, shooting out flames. But once they're on the military post, why should anybody care, no?
Absolutely, Bill, because you know why? You know what I? You know what my comment is to this? To the
whole concept? The concept.
The whole concept of this?
How do you feel about this concept?
Hold it. Here we go. Right here.
I don't give a fuck. Well, I think that kind of sums it up.
If you didn't catch that, Bill, here it is again.
Fresh out of jail, jump on my jump. I don't give a fuck. Well, again, that seems to be directed to the point. Eliminates a lot of dialogue, unnecessary conversation.
Exactly.
I think you stated your point clearly. And I think, say, that many people would agree with you. The few people that disagree with you would certainly agree with me that it's inappropriate outside of the base, but on the base, you should be do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your own room.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and the other one I wanted to talk about, Bill, out of Boston, the Federal Court of Appeal, U.S.
Good for you, Boston.
The Federal Court, U.S. District Court of Appeals for the First Circuit Court, Boston. Okay, Bill?
I'm with you.
What I'm talking about now is, you guys...
We've been waiting this for a while.
Yeah, if anybody remembers, there was a nutcase cop.
Yep.
He was arresting everybody in Boston that had a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that, yes, it was a violation of his First Amendment rights, Bill.
That's right.
According to the federal court, the ruling originates with a suit filed by Boston attorney Simon Glick, who was arrested for recording another arrest in the middle of Boston Common. You know, Boston. Describe Boston Common, Bill.
You know, I took my wife there just last Christmas, and it was absolutely beautiful. It's a place where they have boat rides, and the boats are shaped like swans. Every winter, they have the ice skating arenas open there. It's a place where couples can stroll through the beautiful trees and scenery.
But, Bill, the bottom line is,
mm-hmm.
It's a public place, correct?
Well, absolutely, guys. Absolutely not, yeah.
Okay. As he said,
Boston's so busy, this is a chance to actually kind of relax a little bit.
Exactly.
Because
he said, this guy Simon says, you know, the enormous oldest public park in America,
mm-hmm.
and it's a pretty public place.
It's so big. I didn't know it was the oldest public park. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The cops, the cops had cuffed and Glick had taken his phone on the basis that his recording was a secret, a violation of state wiretapping laws. This should be pretty ridiculous, or patently ridiculous, but it worked at this time. Until the Fed stepped in, the Harvard-affiliated Citizen Media Law Project cuts right to the juiciest, most fundamentalicious excerpts from the course.
Fundamentalicious? What kind of word is that? That's like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, one of those words?
Sure. Is there a constitutionally protected right to videotape police carrying out duties in public? Basic First Amendment principles, along with this case law from this and other circuits, answer the question ambiguously in the affirmative.
Keep the language small. I have some small words. Man, I can't.
Yeah, he's a Boston lawyer, Bill.
Oh.
Glick filmed the defendant police officers in Boston Common, the oldest, the oldest park in America, and the hypothesis of the public forum. In such traditional public spaces, the rights of the state to limit the exercise of First Amendment activity are sharply circumscribed. Citizens' right to film government officials, including law enforcement officers, in the discharge of their duties in a public space is basic, vital, and well-established liberty safeguarded by the First Amendment. Now, to me, Bill, if we watch Gangland or watch any of them shows on TV, they got the camera, they got the guy, and everybody goes through the door, and you see the back of their heads.
That's right.
If they're going to be on camera in any way, what are they wearing, Bill?
They're wearing a full-face mask.
They're undercover. Okay.
And then when we have the police recording our stops, what is wrong with having the next set of eyes or putting another camera there? I can't understand what the problem was. But I think it's about time everybody realizes this is what you have to deal with.
Exactly. Okay. Now, gathering information about government officials in a forum that can readily be decimated to others serves the cardinal First Amendment interest in protecting and promoting the free discussion of governmental affairs. So I didn't know getting arrested was a governmental affair.
No, I didn't. But this is the first state now that's made this decision, right? No one else stepped up yet.
No. In other words, they have. I got another one after this. In other words, the cops were out of line, and filming them with your phone is not only fair game, but a strong constitutional power of citizenry. Although this is a distinct ruling, I take the Supreme Court to make okay cop filming a law of the land. This is terrific victory for free use of technology, transparent society, and sanity.
Let me stop you there for a second.
Sure.
You know, you've seen that Steven Seagal. He's got this movie.
He's
a sheriff or something like that.
Yeah, it's fat.
Okay, well, no, hang on with me. Hang on. There's an MMA fighter. Big, heavy, bald guy. Butterbean. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
He's got his own TV show, too. He's Reserve Cop. I'm telling you, I tuned it in there. Butterbean, go back to fighting. You are the worst example of a sheriff I've ever seen like that.
Get a job.
The guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Can't fight either.
No. He just takes a good beating.
Yes. The other one, Bill, okay? This one happened in the state of Illinois, Bill.
Some of your people,
huh?
Yes. Some of your people.
Some of my people, okay? Authorities hit this guy with an eavesdropping charges based on the hoax that is illegal to film cops. Okay? Man faces life in jail for recording the police.
Here we go again.
Not 30 days, Bill. Not a couple of years. Life. Okay? Every other case involving people arrested for filming cops has been thrown out of court, but media promulgates hoax that recording police is illegal. Okay?
Yep.
This guy was a 41-year-old mechanic. He faces life in jail for recording police officers after authorities hit him with an eavesdropping charges based on the hoax that it's illegal to film cops, a misnomer that has been disproved in every other case against people filming police officers being thrown out of court. Okay? The state is trying to charge him with 5 counts of wiretapping, each punishable by 4 to 15 years in prison. So 5 counts, 20 years?
Yeah, easy, yeah.
Okay, 5 times 15, 75 years. Allison refused to plead legal, which would have seen him no jail time, but would reinforce the hoax that it is illegal to film police officers, as well as acting as a chilling effect to prevent other Americans from filming cases of police brutality.
And so, that's what we're trying to point out. The other ones, Americans, we're trying to say it's our right. That's all we're asking.
And just to let you know, it is. Unless they're walking into their house, taking a piss, or undercover. And when I say walking into their house, you can't show their address. You can film them walking into their house, but you can't show the address. Taking a piss or undercover. Those are the only three things. Otherwise, it's fair game.
Of course, if they're undercover, how do you know they're undercover?
Okay. If they come through my front door, they're usually going to be masked.
They're not undercover, though. I think undercover means, of course, trying to blend in.
A judge in Illinois is expected...
Is that why your front door's been kicked in? I didn't know what the problem was.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
A judge is expected to rule on when the case will go to trial over the next 2 weeks. Another report concerning this case documents, in every other example where people have been arrested for recording police officers, the charges have been dropped and the case thrown out of court. Despite this fact, the state is so desperate to make an example out of Allison that an assistant from the Attorney General's office was recently sent to speak with him during a hearing. The notion that it is illegal to film police officers is a mass hoax that is being propagated by authorities, the media, and police officers themselves. Okay? In the latest example, like when that guy told me I can't record him.
Yes.
And he found out he was wrong. And I loved it when that sergeant stood him up by the fucking wall and told him, everything you just did, you violated all that guy's rights. In Illinois itself, eavesdropping charges against Mr. Tawanda Moore for recording parole officers were dropped after a criminal court jury quickly repudiated the prosecution's case. Where do these guys get these fucking words?
It's not from my dictionary.
It's not either. Mine either.
I'm trying to look the words up as you're talking. I can't figure this out.
The prosecution's case taking less than an hour to acquit Moore on both eavesdropping counts. Okay? Despite the fact that recording police officers, public servants, is perfectly legal, Americans are still being arrested for doing so. Sure, because you outed the fucker.
Mm-hmm. And then this quick point. Let's talk about that, because just quickly, I want to deviate. The man was arrested. He's still being arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you can be arrested for anything. You just can't put up with it. You have to go to court.
Oh, you deserve what you tolerate.
The police officer can arrest you for anything. I can't make that any more clear. It's not his job to decide right or wrong and go to court.
It's just like if you start arguing with him.
That's right.
And you won't give me any information. They'll arrest you right there for obstruction. No, for obstruction. Right off the bat.
Okay, you free to show your ID. You're arrested for that, though.
You don't have to show him your ID. All you have to tell him is your name.
Well, that's, yeah.
Then they run the names, and then they'll ask you your birthday. You don't have to tell them your birthday, either.
But you are required to tell your name. Sake of the cross, that's what I meant.
It's required your name.
You don't have to pull out your driver's license or anything like that, because that's optional. Not everybody has a driver's license.
That's true. And the fact... okay, here we go. And the fact that cases like Allison's have been thrown out all over the country, and yet police continue to arrest people... filming them as a form of intimidation. See,
right.
We just told you.
But you can only be intimidated if you let them intimidate you.
You deserve what you tolerate. No. The fact that the state is knowingly ignoring its own laws in order to engage in acts of official repression highlights the rampant criminality that has infested every level of American government. This behavior is reflective of a predatory system that seems to criminalize all First Amendment activities.
It's going to take more people willing to go to court and fight it. And we've got one state now, but we've got a lot of states left to go. People are going to have to stand up and say, I want to record this incident.
Right.
But they may not be smooth for you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So understand, stand up for your rights.
That's correct. I noticed people bill are dropping in and out.
It's because your conversation is
so
boring.
I think it's because...
They're tuning as they're hearing me, and then
I think they can't get... sound, or they're having trouble logging in. But, like you told me today, some people told
me... I'm
having a hard time. It's not a hard time. You just follow the instructions. If you want to listen to the show, you can call from your cell phone. The number is 347-826-7753. For anybody... listening that wants to call in. Okay?
I'm going to put one of my friends on the spot here because he's supposed to call in. That's Bob Murray. Bob heard the American anthem sung very poorly. And he went and spoke to the radio station about it, that event going on, and he got it adjusted. He got it fixed. He's still very upset, though, and I wanted to talk about this. The American anthem, does it have to be played the exact same way?
Right.
Do we have to have the exact same words?
Okay, it's just like going back.
Bob, where the hell are you?
It's just like going, yes, exactly. But it's just like going back to, you know, the fact that the state is knowingly ignoring its own laws mm-hmm. in order to engage in acts of official repression highlights. What I'm thinking, Bill, is they want to plaster this all over from coast to coast. All
right.
Man gets 75 years for recording police. What's that going
to
do?
I'd have to think twice before I do it.
Exactly, okay?
I have an interesting life for the weekend. I don't want to give it up, you know?
In fact, what I'm going to do, Bill, I'm going to copy this and put it in there in the chat room.
Again, Screwdriver and I are not asking for anybody to be martyrs and all that. We're just asking you to step up to the plate and defend your own rights.
Exactly.
That's all we're saying.
Exactly. Okay, because down here, this is the last two sentences, Bill. It also highlights three. Fact that they're ignoring their own laws, okay? This behavior is reflective of a predatory system that seeks to criminalize all First Amendment activity.
And that's been going on for some time.
It also highlights how petrified the system is about the public being able to document and record acts of police brutality. There was a guy up in San Jose mm-hmm. just got $300,000 for the same thing. Prosecutors in Allison's case are deliberately attempting to jail an innocent man for life for an activity they know full well is not illegal. If anything, they should be the ones charged with illegal conduct and official repression.
Now, some places, they really don't want the input from the public. They'd rather the public run away. Well, that's not in Screwdriver to my neighborhood. We try to make them, not when I say accountable, don't take negative connotation to that. We want to know what's going on. We ask them to explain what they're doing. We're not always attacking. But what we are is questioning those things that we don't think is correct. So we ask you to do. Look what's going on in your state. If something you feel is going wrong, go down and first have it. You don't have to file lawsuits and all that. Go down first and try to have a discussion with the police.
You don't even have to do that, though. You just file a public service request mm-hmm. asking them what the policy is and what their
guidance. Just sit down meeting to discuss it, yeah.
No. You ask first what their policy is and all yeah. that. Then once you get all those answers, then you file another one for a sit-down meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did.
Exactly. And we didn't go in there threatening them.
No.
We went in there and made
no,
them accountable
for. You waited until the last 10 minutes to do that.
Oh, yeah, I guess, you know, sometimes.
And we have a new follower to the show, Bill. She just logged in, so you can give her a kudo.
Mama Jill, how are we doing tonight? Are you out there, dear?
We also have Stormy.
And Stormy Montana. I like that. I like her voice.
Yeah.
I think that...
Are you just trying to egg her in to call
in? No. Stormy, I'm sure, has got more important things to do than call in and check on me. I'm sure she's got big things going on, you know. Did I mention all the albums she has out and all that? Which I cannot think any of the names of her records
yeah.
right now, but... In
who, me?
Well, is that you?
Yeah, this is Mama Jill out of Detroit, Michigan. Listen, you know, I'm just sitting here reading this thing about this man facing 75 years in prison. What the fuck is that about? My God.
It's just an example.
It's
an example and intimidate everybody not to do it.
You know, I'm sitting here reading this. Why, you know, in the fact of the matter is, any cop that has tried to perpetrate any motorcycle club has loved it so much they wanted to flip. You know what I'm saying?
Look at Jay Dobbins. He was leading a double life.
Living a double life, but everybody wants to be.
And if you've seen him lately on the news or on any shows, he still dresses like a biker.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you something. It's sad, baby, the way they're doing bikers. And, you know, I'm just, well, we've been through this, and I'm sitting here with my little glass of vino. and my husband's
okay.
fishing. Yeah, well,
red or white?
I
red
or
red. White?
Red.
There you go. Is that Dago red?
Yes, yes. Chardonnay.
No.
No, oh my God, we do have apple pie. Now that's homemade, and that's some damn good shit. The 100 proof Everclear. Get some apple
juice. Yeah, no, we had a. When I grew up, when I was a kid, we had a guy who lived across the alley, an old Italian guy. He used to make Dago Red.
Oh my God.
We used to buy it for $3 a bottle. Homemade shit. It was good.
Yeah, this is 7, and it's really good. It's like 100-something proof. It's awesome. But anyway, getting back to what your discussion tonight, I heard something about a new law being passed in several states. If the cops pull you over and you're on a motorcycle, they can – I kind of missed it, but they can, like, infringe on your rights. And what was – do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
what?
I didn't read that.
The one where they're talking about they can download your phone?
Yeah. What is that about?
Well, you know where that originated at in your state?
Michigan.
Yep. There's four departments there that have that. Like, if you buy a cell phone and something happens to your phone and you wanna get everything off the phone, so they download your SIM card and then they load it into your new phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what the cops do is download your information into their gizmo. They take the gizmo back to the computer at the station, download it there, and then do a search and all that shit on whoever's in your phone.
Oh, my God.
Well, the ACLU in Michigan has 4 lawsuits right now, but they stopped them for a couple weeks, but they went back to doing it.
Well, you know,
he doesn't keep the batteries in his phone or anything. He cannot be traced. You're telling me that if he gets pulled over, they can grab the phone
and put the
batteries in it?
No.
Okay, that was question one.
No, because, Bill, most 9 times out of 10, your phone's on in your pocket right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, correct.
Okay, so they know where you're at.
Always, yeah.
The only way you can do anything is when you get on, if you're going to go for a ride or you're going to go church or you're going to go somewhere that you don't want nobody to know where you're at. The ice cream
parlor.
Yeah.
You take the battery out. It doesn't work.
Oh, that's insane.
It's just like the computer in your car. If you disconnect the battery with the check engine light on, and you disconnect the battery, and you hook the battery back up, it resets the computer. But in the next 25 miles, that light's going to come back on, Bill.
Right.
So when you put the battery back into your phone and turn it on, you just reset your phone to update.
Well, you know, we're screwing ourselves with all this technology. I kind of hate it myself. I have to be honest with you. I'm old school.
Well, just like they were going to do in North Carolina. You get pulled over and you get a DUI. They were going to put a chip in your arm after that.
Oh, wow.
Get out.
They were trained, I'm pretty sure North Carolina Jam was on that last year.
Are you serious?
They trained these guys how to take blood so they don't have to take you to someone that's trained to do your, you know, like a nurse or the hospital. They train these guys on how to take your blood.
Yeah, I just have to tell you, things have gotten so out of hand and so picky, you know, I mean, there's enough space for everybody, okay? It's just, you know, it really pisses me off. The fucking police are really starting to piss me off because they wish they could be on the flip side. You know what I mean? Let's get real here and be free.
It's just like the ones that are listening or listening to the archives of the show. That's where they get their updates.
Oh, they can listen. They can come knock on my door. I don't know them nothing. I paid my dues, baby, years ago. You know what I mean? And I'm not ashamed of anything that I do, and that's why I'm on this radio, and I'm talking to you gentlemen because I had such a good time last time. But there's some serious issues here of really seriously infringing a person's rights, and I don't think people really understand. Michigan is a trip. I have to tell you, I'm a California girl, and I moved to Michigan. Michigan's different. You know, I don't know. I felt like I came back to the country when I came back to Michigan. It's a beautiful state. It's a great state. I'm not knocking it now. But the law...
Well, no, it doesn't sound like you're knocking it either.
Yeah,
sometimes,
no. Go ahead.
Sometimes change of scenery is good.
Yeah, you know, it's tight in California. Everything is so... everybody's on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I grew up, there was a lot of space, and there was, you know, it was just a different day. But anyway, times changed. Too many people. But a lot of people, I don't think, you know, I sent a friend of mine who happens to ride with a pretty notable club here in Michigan. And
you can say anything you want about any club.
Well, the Renegades.
Okay.
And they're awesome. They've been in many of Sonny's books, you know what I mean, and they've been around for years and years and many years, and they're good guys. You know, they're veterans, and they do their benefits just like, you know, everybody else, you know. They're not riding around trying to be whatever. But I sent him because I want some guys to get with you guys so they can see what's happening. And maybe Dave's my friend's listening. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say his name. But anyway, I don't know what to say, man. You know, I enjoy talking to you guys, but I'll tell you, the cops need to... What's happening to this country? It's turning into a... I just don't get it anymore.
We don't have any friendly neighborhoods anymore. We don't have people speaking to neighbors anymore. We think that, well, the government's taking care of us and all that. We can remember way back in the day when our immigrant families came to America. I'm Irish, screwdriver's Irish. It was a country, you know, of the people, for the people, and by the people. Now we're allowing the government.
Your
we're
word
allowing
is
it.
Your bond. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. No,
your
exactly.
Word. Yeah. Was your bond. That was everything.
I want to just tell you something that Screwdriver and I are 45 minutes and we're in another foreign country. We're in Mexico. That's what time it takes us to leave his door right now. We'd be in a foreign country. I get at the border.
20 minutes without traffic.
Well, if the traffic get out of my way, but yeah. If I cross the border and the Mexican police are all lined up and all that, all they do is they nod their head and they, you know, say, hello.
Or get behind
nothing.
Me.
They don't care. Now, when Screwdriver and I will be down there for a couple days, we come back to America. Now, I want you to picture the scenario again. I go into a foreign country. The people at the border, the Mexicans, they wave at us. Hello. I come back now. I'm crossing back to America.
And they got you jacked up.
Hear what I got to put up with. Where have you been? How long have you been down there? Who are you?
Bringing back anything?
I'm not in your country. Your country is my country, America. I'm in a foreign country. We want to know what you're doing in that country. Why do you want to know what I was doing in that country? And I am not going to tell you what I did in that country. But
well,
they sit there.
Well, it's not their business.
Exactly.
But you're making money for them. You're bringing venue. You're advertising for them. They don't seem to get it. I mean, you're on an international talk show here, and, you know, what part of Mexico?
Well, in our case here, our fares are Tijuana. You know, we got to Rosarito, we got Ensenada, we get down to Cabo. For the past couple of years, we've been going over to mainland Mexico to for the white people, Rocky Point, for the people that had, like, 1 year Spanish.
Puerto Penasco.
Puerto Penasco. We
yeah,
do
are they riding?
November,
are they riding down there?
About 10,000 of us cross the border in November for Screwdriver and I only ride. Listen, 7 days a week we ride the motorcycle. That's all there is to it. We never take our motorcycles, trucks. I mean, we never take our cars or trucks into Mexico. Mm-hmm. Crossing back the border would take too long.
The only time we take a truck, Bill, is the chase truck.
Yeah.
Oh, because they want to shake it down.
No, 45 years of my being there, I've never paid a nickel bribe to a cop. I've never been harassed by a cop. Our crew has never once paid a fine to the cops.
Been arrested?
Well, because enough. You're not doing anything wrong. Why should you have to?
That's right.
I mean, Mexico, you know,
Mexico, I go to a foreign country. Also, I go because it's wide open spaces. The distance between the cities is so far apart, and I love the ocean. But when I come back to America, which is where I'm from, the country I love, the country, you know, I think is the best country in the whole damn world.
Yes.
I'm treated like a criminal, and I'm not even in America yet. And this just gets on my nerves all the time.
And because you have a clean record, and because you've done nothing, but you're not talking their talk. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're speaking out, and you're speaking from your heart and soul and what's real.
And basically, what I usually tell those guys when they stop me is, this is what I tell them.
I don't give a fuck! Screwdriver's a man of few words. He's kind of out of a dialect with Screwdriver. He's kind of like monotone in his...
But that's all right. He takes great pictures, man. I like to snap them up. You guys, your game is tight. I'm going to tell you that. And I really don't know what else to say because, you know, I just called in because I enjoy it. And I think you
citizen
guys are awesome.
In. Another American citizen. That's why you called in. We're two Americans
absolutely.
Having a conversation.
And I think
Bill.
It's my right. And I think everybody else should really get on it and tune in and see what's going on instead of, you know, I just find it very interesting. And it disturbs me what's going on here in America.
What's disturbing you is that we can't get people to take an interest. No other people are taking care of it. You, whoever's listening to me tonight, you out there, you have to start taking it. Be aware of what's going on in your state. You need
everybody.
Yes.
You know, Bill, there's the song that I played where I got that phrase from. Is our friend Mike P out of SFV, but he also did another song, Bill. Jill, I'd like you to hang out and listen to this song, and then I'm gonna ask your opinion on this song after, okay?
Awesome.
All right, but this one is called. It's by Mike P, the Big Homie, and it's called One Percenter.
Oh yeah.
Good.
did I listen? I heard, I was listening to every word. And what I have to say is it's a culture. Like everything else is a culture. It's a lifestyle. And so everybody has a different lifestyle. You got the hippies, the beatniks, whatever. You got the artists. You got this. You got bikers. You got rubs. You got this. You know, I'm saying, why can't they just get wait a minute. Get the guys. They're letting all these people out that are molesting children, killing them, decapitating women, all this crazy shit that they show on the news. And it really pisses me off that if a person wants to get on their motorcycle and ride and have long hair and wear a color or do whatever they want to do, for Christ's sake, this is America.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to say, and this is what's so important for you to understand. I'm not worried about myself. I'm not worried about whatever time I got left in my life, which way my life goes. Everything I've done, I've been responsible myself. I've never blamed anybody. But what I'm looking at is I don't know how my grandchildren are going to grow up. I don't know what type of world they're going to grow up to. Will they be thinking that China's the big super country we're all going to bow down to? Will it be proud
but
to be called America?
We're almost bowing down now. Right now,
tell
here
about
in Michigan. In,
well,
Bill,
it's like I told you, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Mm. No, listen, we have the largest population of Arabs. And if anybody's listening that is of that whatever, then if I'm talking radical Muslims, whatever. The largest population in the United States is right here in Michigan and Dearborn. Now, you'd think the cops would be focusing on them, okay, or on whatever it is. Bring our troops home like it was promised, like Obama said he was going to do, and I hope the FBI and everybody and their mothers listening, because, you know, it's all such bullshit that I can't even stand to watch the news anymore. You know, and then they're going to put something on where a biker gets killed or somebody riding their motorcycle, and that's news?
Hey, I got the front. This is on the front page. Marines told not to fart. It's on the front page.
In
not to fart?
Yes. It's disrespectful in the foreign country they're in.
Oh,
you know
what,
Jason? The government records. Wait. Go ahead, Joe. Fish up.
No, I'm listening.
I was going to say to you, the government records of last week saying that the war is costing the American public $3 trillion. That's trillion with a T. Now,
you couldn't write that.
I couldn't. He's laughing at me. I wrote down 3 million. I could figure that much.
Yeah, but I can't.
You know, I have a college education. I don't know what a trillion is.
Bill, I'm going to take a piss and I got a fart.
Oh, geez, get out of the room.
Yeah. You're not allowed. Hold it and let it blow up your back end.
You know, I have watched $3 trillion a year we're spending overseas, and we know that how much that's being misappropriated, an awful lot. I was talking to friends of mine the other day asking me about what I thought about the space shuttles, and I said, I don't care about if there's people on the moon, or there's people in Venus, or there's people in Uranus. I really don't care. We need to take care of people in Appalachia. We need to take care of people in Wisconsin. We need to take care of Americans first.
Home. Instead of sending our money to...
Yeah, go ahead.
These people are worried about these folks over there in Somalia, and these have the phantom, and this here and that, and trying to feed them. And I just, let me tell you, I took my husband, I haven't been in Detroit in, I'll tell you, 15 years, down in the city. They're pumping up the city. They're talking about what they're doing downtown. Well, downtown's cool, but then you go two blocks off, and everything's burnout. There's crackheads, holes everywhere. I mean, it's you know, who, if you get lost, you're in trouble. Trust me. I'm not bad rapping the city, but they need to drop a bomb on it and start all over, personally. People are starving. They're begging. It's just a bad situation.
How can we have Americans sleeping on the street? How can we have Americans, like you said, crack hoes, How can we have crack babies? We are.
Yes.
We're just,
and everything. And veterans. The veterans aren't getting the proper care in the VA hospitals. I mean, we could go on and on. But yet and still, we're still trying to write off something on our taxes because we're giving to somewhere off somewhere, or we're bringing a kid that got burnt in Iraq back over here where we have veterans and we have people waiting for transplants. I mean, it's disgusting. I'm glad
also,
I'm where I'm at.
You have to understand right now that we have these soldiers, these troopers coming home from overseas, and for the first time in American history, it's our daughters, it's our mothers, it's our sisters who are coming over back. These suicide bombers attack women.
Yes.
It's one thing to see him. I can see a man walking down the street, missing an arm or leg, and I say, you know, God bless you for what you did for your country, brother. I see a woman injured, and because of the way I was raised and all that, that just tears me up.
You know, Bill?
What, sir?
Not to interrupt you, Joe, but I got to share this with you guys. Okay? Listen to this. Listen to this.
Okay, well, let me ask you one thing. How do I write on here? How do I write? Well, I'll figure it out. I see all.
Well, are you signed into the chat room?
Yeah, my name's up there, Bikers, and then I see Stormy Montana, and she had to go off and fix some egg rolls.
But Stormy also typed in, Bill, it's 12 zeros.
12 zeros.
12 zeros after the 3, Bill, for 3 trillion.
This girl just typed it into me. She went 17 years old. A 17-year-old girl had to type it in, 12 zeros, because I honestly...
Oh, she did.
Oh.
I see it. Yeah. My God, that's 3 trillion. You go, girl. Hey! I love it.
Smile. Listen to this, and I'll stop. I'll stop when I get to the good part.
Okay.
This is sad news from New Orleans, Bill. It seems that every couple of days, New Orleans loses one of its treasured entrepreneurs. Okay.
Yep.
Let's get the player straight before we go on with this. Okay. The guy's name is LaMondo Flair Allen. Okay. His companion was Kawana Armstrong, okay? His sons are Christian Allen, Quan Allen, Marmando Allen,
Jr.,
Deandra Allen are his daughters, LaMichelle Allen, LaMansha Allen, LaMandrell, LaManjara, and
Corville,
okay?
Or Corville.
At age 25, Bill, this guy had 9 kids.
Jeez.
Okay? Wait, listen, it's going to get better. His father, Bernell Thompson, his mother, Esther Allen, his stepfather, Bruce Gordy, his brothers were Bernell Thompson, Edgar Thompson, Will Willis, Dante Edwards, Martinell Allen, Bernell Allen, and Lester Allen. His sisters, 5 sisters now, Chanel, Lakeisha, Gwendolyn, Jessica,
of course,
Tina. Wait a minute, this is going to get better. His grandparents were Dolores, J.C., Anna Laura, and Will Thompson, okay? So now let's see. His father, Bernell, fathered his brothers, Bernell, Edgar, and his sister, Lakeisha. His stepfather, Bruce Gordy, fathered sister, Katana. His mother, Esther Allen, must have been unwed when she gave birth to LaMondo, Martinell, Bernell, and Lester. We know who fathered Will Willis and Jessica Willis, or Dante and Rashad Edwards. Let's hope sister Chanel Craig and Gwendolyn Carter are married. Got all
I got a headache now.
Okay, wait. Got all the above story straight?
I'm trying.
Okay, now to the rest of the story. He was 25. He had 3 sons and 6 daughters. They were all 9. The 9 of them were welfare recipients, collecting $1,500 each. That equals $13,500 a month. Now Wait. Now I had food stamps, free medical, free school lunches, so on. Okay? Do the math. This guy was collecting welfare, Bill, for 9 kids. $162,000 a year.
Jeez.
Okay? Wait. And you know what? Tax-free. Anyone out there sitting on their butt while reading this email, making kind of money, doing nothing? Now, to me, that is a real entrepreneur. Because of their father's death, all the kids will collect Social Security until they're 18, Bill. And we wonder what's wrong with this country. Okay? Government out of money. We become a nation of dumb people. The smartest ones are sitting home having kids and collecting our hard-earned tax dollars. Irresponsible behavior pays in the United States. No wonder this country is going bankrupt.
Dude, I want to say something right now. Got to wrap this up, too. Screwdriver and I have both, because of the way we were raised and all that, we've been working since high school, and maybe we have always worked. It was raised by our family and all that. The idea of Mike collecting welfare. You know what, though? As of tonight, though, it's sounding a little more interesting to me, but it's not the way I was raised. I was raised to work. I was raised to bring money home, not to collect a paycheck. But if I get that much money, I might consider it, though, brother. I'm going to tell you.
Well, can I tell you just one more thing before I sign off?
You can say anything you want.
I made bad choices, but no, actually, I didn't make bad choices. I was free all my life. I never had a job until I came to Michigan in 78. And I worked at General Motors, and I thought I was set for life. I was out there. You know what I mean? I went from the bike to the corner. Let me put it to you like that. And quite frankly, I don't care if the world knows, because look at me now. I'm retired. I own a horse. Life is good. But I lost my train of thought.
How old are you now, Maskew?
66.
56. Jill, I'm 63.
Six.
Oh.
I was born in 45.
Okay, then. I'm 63. My brother and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles, a custom Harley-Davidson shop in Oceanside.
California. Oh, my God. Oceanside.
Tell you something. Listen. I'm not going to retire. I'm going to die at the counter, because that makes me happy to go to work every day at the bike shop.
Well, you have to have a purpose. But here's the thing. We just had it on the news that a guy can't even get food stamps, and he's starving to death because he gets too much Social Security. His pension. He can't get food stamps. They're working the system. Who's the smart one? Huh? You think? They're working the system, and I really think they need to start doing the drug test. And I know we got way off base, and this is a biker
shot. Florida is the first state to do it right now.
People on welfare, collecting benefits, they should be drug tested just the same as you have to be drug tested working for that government, welding those ships and all that.
You're damn right, or General Motors. Everything.
Yes.
Everywhere you got to be drug tested now.
Why shouldn't people on welfare be drug tested? I think that's the same for everybody.
You're damn right. Across the board.
That's tough for them, yeah.
All right, guys, I'm going to cut you loose, because I've been holding you down a long time. And I love you both.
If you want to stay right where you're at, you're fine.
Oh, I'm good. But maybe Stormy's going, no, I have
a No, she says she's going to call in. She's still eating her suicide rolls. Have you heard any of Stormy's music?
You know what? I have. She's got long hair, right?
That's correct.
And a nice, very attractive young lady.
Yes.
I think I did, because you had it on your thing and I played it.
Yeah. Well,
and,
let me do this.
You had it on your thing? What the heck? What's she talking about? What's going
on here? On your Facebook.
You had to give him an in. You had to give him the in.
What goes on between you two is not my business. You're adults. An adult program. I'm not.
We'll do it, Bill. I'm gonna play one of Stormy's songs for you.
She's awesome.
This one's called Sing This City Home.
Together we'll never go through.
You know, it's just kind of nice, peaceful, restful music. I just enjoy the...
She's got a nice flavor. Does she write her own music?
Yeah, she does.
She's actually on the phone if you want to say hello to her.
Hi, Stormy.
Hi, y'all.
I really think you ought to go on American Idol. Are you already past that point?
Well, I wouldn't say exactly that I'm past that point because for people that, I don't know, I guess they're interested in that sort of
thing.
Well,
you sound awesome.
Not my scene, I guess. Well,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Well,
I appreciate
it. I have heard your music. You have a beautiful voice, and I see the iTunes Apple thing here. Yeah. And my pleasure meeting you.
It was nice to meet you, too.
Well, yeah. So here we are on the radio. Where's our home?
Yeah.
We're here. We're
just two Americans talking to each other.
Exactly.
and that's so wonderful about the computer. Actually,
mm-hmm. Have you been listening to most of the show, Stormy, while you're cooking?
Well, I've been trying, but Mom just about killed us. She put, I think, too many jalapenos in the egg roll. So, and we haven't even eaten them yet. I mean, we always taste test just a little bit, but they've got to freeze for a couple of hours before you can fry them up. So, anticipation, it kills just about as much as the jalapenos, but it's good.
Stormy, we were just talking about, hi, kiddo. We're talking about you a little while ago, not about you personally, but the fact that we have no idea, Jill and I, of what the future holds for you, because America is changing and changing and changing, and it personally, it makes me happy to know young people are out there doing good things. Question I had for you, though, and I gave you a nice phrase, nice build-up. How did you know with $3 trillion? Did you know that? Did you look it up somewhere?
Because it's million, billion, and then trillion.
You knew that then. Oh, my God.
I never heard of it.
I thought you had to look it up in Google. I have no idea what you did. I couldn't figure it out.
I got that beat into my brain by Miss Angie Hewitt in the third grade, I think. I hated that class. I was always good at math, but I hated that class.
When
I was your age, I'd already planned my future. And do you know that when I was your age, I figured out, if I had $250,000 in the bank,
yeah,
I could retire.
That's what I'm talking about. And $1 million was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I cannot retire on $1 million.
No, $1 million is like $200,000.
I can't retire like that.
Yeah. I mean, I never even heard of this. Where did they come with trillion? That was never even a word.
Not when we were growing up.
Since we got so far in debt, they had to start making up new numbers.
Well, they need to start printing out some more money or doing something. I don't know what they need to do. They need to back up.
Yeah, printing more. It's not like they can't just print more.
You know what? The country is in so much trouble right now. It's so disheartening because I happen to slide through, you know, and my Social Security and everything's in order, you know, but I'm thinking about the people behind me, you know. It's very heartbreaking. And, oh, my God. The folks don't have a clue about how things used to be and how crazy they are now.
That's what my mom always says, that things were so different.
Stormy, I had to go to a funeral last night. I chop up and I rode up to L.A. And I ran to Pete Alva. Do you know Pete Alva?
He's
a photographer.
Yes, indeed.
He's quite hard.
We were sitting down talking to some of the red and white boys were there, and we were talking about this and that, and the services were over, and just out of the blue, he started talking about your music, and he said, he mentioned you by name. I said, are you talking Stormy? He goes, yeah, that's who I was talking about, Bill. So in the middle of after the funeral services and all that, your name came up there. We went down to Orange County, a place called Cook's Corner. The service was up in L.A. and all that. So anyway, Pete said for me to say hello to you, Stormy.
Well, hello back, and I need to send him a message.
He might be calling in. You could probably get...
He told me he was going to call in. That's what reminded me about all that stuff, because he's got a run he wants to talk about.
Okay.
And I are having a hard time now with the... there's too many motorcycle
activities.
Yeah,
listen, hey, guys, I'm going to sign off, because I got to go hit the cork.
Okay.
Well, put it in one.
I probably sound like an alcoholic, but believe it or not, I've been up with my horse all day, grooming her, cleaning stalls, and all this and that. So
actually now, so you retired and now you just shovel shit? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I own a horse, and I actually enjoy doing it. I enjoy, you know, keep working, keep moving. You know, at my age, you got to keep going, baby. Otherwise, you lose it. If you don't,
I think you
got to
get a motorcycle.
I'm too old.
One more
Harley
Davidson.
My husband, you know, my husband would kill me. Well, I've fallen off of her 4 times. And
those horses
I'm a little crazy. If I had a bike, trust me, I'd really be out there. I'm an exhibitionist. Yeah, the cops would be on my tail wanting my shit in a minute. They can fuck off. I love you guys.
All right,
love you guys.
Thanks
for
calling.
Have a great show. Yeah, and Stormy, much love and respect,
yeah,
darling. And
thank
to,
you,
right
back at you.
Yeah, and Bill and Phil, I love you guys. And have a
well,
good
thank you
safe
okay,
week.
Little girl.
Okay, ciao.
That was nice. You know, it's a great show. Last week we had, 32 people called in?
Yeah.
32, we couldn't get them on the air. And tonight, it's slow. Something's going on. Stormy, what are you doing for Labor Day weekend?
On Labor Day, I'm not exactly sure, but on Saturday I have a benefit run. It's, excuse me, the Southern Cruisers Dice Run. It's a benefit for St. Jude's,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a bike run, and they're going to be doing that, and the rain date is on Labor Day. So really looking forward to that. Main line's playing as well. I start up at...
Wait.
Tell us what a rain date is.
Yeah, can
Stormy?
You give us a definition of a rain date?
What's
because
a rain date?
Just for us, right here where we're at right now, it never rains in Southern California.
Yeah, y'all don't get rain, but
no.
It's if it rains, it's a different date. I mean, I don't know any other way to explain it.
Only kidding.
A rain date. It's exactly what it sounds like.
We talk to people in different states. They're always telling us about rain dates, and Screwdriver and I go, rain dates? No. We don't have those things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we're having kind of screw nutty weather here since we have like these bipolar hurricanes coming in on the coast, and that always whips right up around here. So there's
Will's
a good chance it might rain. There's a good chance it might not.
Mm-hmm. Good. Stormy, Screwdriver mentioned earlier something about Marines and their audible emissions. Did you hear that part of the show?
I heard something about farting whenever I walked in the room. So, is
yeah,
that
we're
what
telling
you're
our troops
about?
That are killing these enemies that it's okay to shoot them, but you can't fart in public. Now, what type of message are we sending young troops over there? In one tiny sense, I guess I can understand this saying, well, you're in a foreign country, but I'm thinking, you got a gun in your hand, you got bullets. You're going to shoot him, you're going to fart. I think they'd probably rather you farted on them than shot him, in my opinion, you know? That's my thought.
Depends on who it is, I guess.
Screwdriver and I are talking about...
Mate.
We're going to be going to Las Vegas, I think, the end of this month now.
That's correct.
And we got a couple more, too. I was hoping that when Pete calls in, Pete want to talk about some big runs that were going on up in L.A., see, being in San Diego, sometimes we're like the redheaded stepchild of California. We're kind of down in the corner by ourselves, and there's so many damn runs up in L.A. Everywhere we go is long distance. I worked all day last night, jumped on the bike. I had to drive 100 miles for a funeral. Then we went out to a dinner program, a little celebration of life. Jump on the bike, drive back, pass out, get up, go to work, get off work, jump on the show here. It just it makes us busy. That's why Screwdriver and I sometimes go different runs. It would be nice if we could make them all, but no. How close are you to driving your truck now? I was curious. I was going to ask you that last time.
Well, it needs tires still, but me and Mom actually went to pick up my grandmother's farmies the other day in Paducah, which is about an hour away, and she tried to make me drive, and I didn't even make it to the state line.
Well, so, you do only what you
she's
do.
She's in there laughing at me right now. I can hear her from the other room.
You just do a little bit at a time, but I'm going to stay with you. If you're uncomfortable, stop. You let your mom drive the rest of the way like that, but keep trying a little bit at a time. You'll increase your confidence level so much more. Actually, I don't think relatives should teach relatives how to drive.
Enough cigarettes in the world for my mom to teach me how to drive. I need to get someone really, really calm to teach me how to drive.
You got to give her the cigarettes that make her relax.
Yeah. Me too.
Stormy, I'm a little bit too far to help you out, but a lot of my friends ask me to take their wives and girlfriends out and teach them how to drive a stick shift. They can ride an automatic, but Bill, they say, Bill, I can't teach her. I can't teach her. You shouldn't teach relatives.
Oh, I can't even do an automatic. I can't. My bad thing is I can't remember which one is the gas and which one is the brake. That's the problem I'm having.
Well, you know, not to sound, but I'm sure you can get your mom to take the pedals out and have one painted green for go and the other one painted red for stop.
There you go.
That might be a good idea.
Whatever works.
I know you're probably just picking at me, but I might do that in my
truck. No, whatever works. Seriously.
It'd get a good laugh, anyways.
No, I'll tell you. Remember when Lindsay started driving?
Yes.
She didn't know shit about the car. What did I do? I lifted the hood and I rode on top of all the oil, the brake fluid, the radiator, the oil,
battery
connections. No, I didn't. No, she knew that. I didn't have to write it for her.
And why did you do all that? Because
so she'd understand which one she put. If she needed
to check things.
Or check, yeah. And when she went to get her first oil change, the guys opened the hood and walked over and started laughing at her. Wanted to know why somebody wrote that on her. And she said, because my dad wanted to make sure I put everything in the right place.
You know, I think that you should get as much knowledge as you can. I resent it. Like we do the motorcycle shop. When women come in, they go, oh, I don't know anything about my motorcycle. And I say, why not? Well, I'm just a girl, and I said, so you want to pay me to do it? It's your motorcycle. I'm treating you like an equal. You don't have to be a motorcycle mechanic, I tell my women that come in. You need to have a basic understanding because you own the motorcycle. You're the driver. It's your responsibility. At least to know how to check the air, check the oil. You need to go over your motorcycle. Stormy, so many girls say, oh, I don't know. Well, get off your ass and learn.
It's too hot. I can't do it.
If you drive the car, you need to check these things out.
My absolute best friends work at a family-owned auto shop. So it's not that I don't have a couple of people that can teach me everything. I guess the best way to put it is it's not my forte. Area of expertise.
Your mom typed in, it's amazing, and the next one says, bullshit.
Stormy, you're driving home, you get a flat tire. Is there any chance in the world you can change that tire?
Hell no.
Oh, no. Little girl, it's your truck. You know you may be alone sometime. You have to know how to do this.
Oh, no, it's a new point with my truck, because my truck's tires are dry rotted, so they're already flat. They ain't going to be driven. But
do you know, Stormy, where your spare tire is?
Flat. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you know you have a spare tire on your truck? Do you know where it is?
well, obviously nowhere to be found, or it'd already be on the truck. I have no idea. Honestly, I don't. And it's not because I'm a girl. I just know nothing about it.
You know, it's the more knowledge you get, it's important. I know, like I was talking to your mother the other night, she said that her plans are to live in that filthy big mansion you're going to buy her once you get successful and all that. But, you know, sometime you may have to do this on your own. You are buying your mother a big mansion when you get rich and famous, aren't you, Stormy?
Maybe. Well, the mansion may have to wait, but the first thing I'm going to get her is a rubber room.
Oh. You may be grounded for a long time, little girl.
Oh, no, well, I promised her. It's on the CD insert.
Oh, okay.
Well, she says there's no chance. She says there's no chance she'll be driving home.
Mm. Oh, well, by the time that she needs the rubber room, she don't need to drive anyways.
Yeah.
So what's going on in your world? You got the benefit and anything else coming up?
I've got that. I've got a little hometown festival that I promised one of my friend's parents that I would do. Got a couple of shows coming up in Paducah, one at Doe's Eat, another one I can't remember the name of the place. Shame on me. It's written on the calendar. I have the memory of a goldfish. Another reason why I can't drive very well, I can't remember. But just a lot of benefits, stuff like that, shows in Paducah. Just working on stuff like that.
You know, I have Bill. Let me find this thing.
Go ahead. You want me to say something?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Every now and then we kind of get a little confused because Screwdriver has so much work to do on the computers that he can't focus on talking like that. So people say, well, Bill does an awful lot of talking. I do when he's trying to look something up here. What I want to tell you about is we have a toy run coming up here in December. And I know you can't be out here for that, but it's a Tijuana toy run. We're going to gather at the border. And for those people that cannot go across the border because of legal problems or people that are divorced and the wife has the kid or vice versa, they can't go where we're going. We cross the border. We go down to Revolution Street. And we bring every single orphan from every single orphanage in the Tijuana area. We go down and we bring them a little present. I try to bring a small present for a little boy and a small present for a little girl. And being a shop owner, myself and a bunch of guys, we kick some bucks in and we give a few bicycles away to different orphanages. But I invite Americans always to come down with me because the reasoning is you and I, Stormy, you being much younger, you are so lucky to live in this country. Just 45 minutes from where I'm living, there are people living in Tijuana that have nothing. And I encourage all my friends to bring your son or daughter, especially teenagers, across the border with us so they can see what a person who lives on that side. A fence separates us. You can be born on one side of the fence or the other. But those people living in Tijuana, those children, they have no idea of racism. They have no idea of being in one country or another. All they want to know is someone to care for them. Here in America, we make a big deal. It's a big celebration and all that, but there are so many people. And before you start anybody yelling at me, Screwdriver and I work on several orphanages in America, too. But I wished everybody could hear my voice, could be in Tijuana with me at the Christmas time to see people that have nothing. And you've heard of those card
packs. Well, if I was able to be down there for it, I would be down there in a heartbeat.
It would change you. It would make you really appreciate. We all kind of take for granted what we have, but once I take you down there and you see people living in, again, cardboard shacks, we have a zapata run. That's called a shoe run. We get down there, as a businessman, we raise some money. We take all the kids from the orphanage, we take them to a shoe store and let them all pick out a pair of shoes. What a small thing to do. But until we get there, they don't have shoes. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I depressing everybody? Screwdriver, get us out of this depressing now.
Well, since we're talking about benefits, Bill, this came out. This guy was a former, well, now he's a former, but he was a gaming investigator. So what he would do is he would sell the permits to the charities. And then some of the groups, like Abate, he got $25,000 from them. And never gave him the money that they raised. He got $10,000 from in Alaska, by the way. But he got a community theater in Anchorage, and he took $10,000 from them. Never gave them. They had the event, and he never gave them the money.
Stormy, be very careful. Pay a lot of attention to who you're performing for and where the money's going, because your name will be associated with that charity if it's a bad charity. Like we're talking about this promoter here who was abusing his trust. Stormy, your name is associated with that. Screwdriver and I spent a lot of time making sure that the organization that we're helping is getting 100% of all the money. Be careful of that, little girl.
Yeah, I've only know charities that I'm really sure that they're getting, if not all, then way most of the profits.
He wanted, he basically, Bill, what he was doing was these guys come in, get a permit. He wanted a bribe to give them the permit. He said if they didn't keep back the money to him or invest in his operation, he's trying to start his own pull tab business. No, it's like a gaming parlor. And
wait. Pull tab? What is it?
Pull tab.
I don't know. Would you explain? I don't know. Really.
It's like. It's,
what the hell do I know? I don't know. Pull tab. What's a pull tab? Stormy, you know what a pull tab is? No, she doesn't know either. Tell us what a pull tab
like
is.
Like the ones off the cans?
No, it's got numbers. It's like a roll. It's got numbers, and you pull the numbers out. If the number that you pull matches whatever, then you win.
Oh, okay, almost like raffling.
Right, but what he was doing was he was making these guys give him compensation for him to give them the permit. He was the top investigator, and he demanded bribes. So whenever he gave out the permits, he got a kickback. Then when he approached these other people to invest in his own pull tab business, he borrowed the money but never paid it back. So they got him on like six different things. He wanted to pull a pull tab point of sale system, and it was like $9,000 to get it. So he demanded these guys give him the kickback so he could do that, Bill. And then it's like he came up with this system called the Tab Wizard, and what it did was allow the parlor owner to track the sales.
Mm.
You know, you paid so much and you got to pull so many tabs.
You're not pulling my tab now, are you?
No.
It's right there. I didn't know what you're pulling.
You know, and then he took $10,000 incentive payments.
You know, that is a good point, and I want to go back to that little thing about Tijuana again, because we bring every single kid from every single orphanage, but we have a like identification on them so that they will be, so no rich kids can sneak in and get toys and all that.
Right. I mean,
if there are any rich
if
kids,
you remember that one, if you remember that one year, the guy was driving Mercedes and stuff and came back the other way.
Yeah. Now, there is money in Mexico.
Wanted bicycles for his kids.
But we have to take into account the fact that we think we're doing good. When we do the Zapata run, we're actually taking all the kids down in the bus to a shoe store and letting them put the shoes on their feet. I mean, there's no way we can be misappropriating a single sentence down there. So we try to pay attention to that there.
That's correct.
Perhaps during the Tijuana toy run, we'll take a few pictures maybe and send them down to you, Stormy, to your mama, so you can actually see what people living in complete poverty is like. It's just, especially the children. I'd explain to a child, you know, I know you're hungry, but we have no food. At the Zapata run, we'll get down to the orphanage, the Chilpancingo orphanage. There's like one adult for every 12 people. So what they have to do is they have some of the older children kind of supervise the youngest children. And no matter what we bring down, all that, Stormy, with these little kids, what they really want to do is if somebody will just hug them for a little while, if somebody will give them a little bit of attention. There's so few supervisors per ratio of children. Everything is, you know, assembly line, hurry up, blah, blah, blah. We bring people down, if the little children can just be held, that's what they really want more than anything. Food's great, clothing's great, but just to be held and have somebody pay attention to them. With one adult, 12 children, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not depressing you, am I, Stormy?
Huh?
I'm not depressing you, am I?
No, I mean, it's all making sense, and it's very true.
Mama Jill says that those poor children will maul you because they have nothing. So sad.
Mm-hmm. That's why we have to control. For some people going down there, we bring a big semi.
And Sherry says, in her defense, Stormy's defense, she's worked every waking moment on her school and her music. When all the other kids were learning to drive, she was sleeping in the car on her way back and forth to Nashville recording and doing benefits for tornado victims.
All right. The next question from Mama Jill, I'm going to answer that. Mama Jill, in 1969 into 1970, we had a new mayor of Tijuana. And the question you had was, no, it's no longer being offered down there. That program was canceled in 1970. So now, if you want to come with me, I can take you to places where there are private events going on. But the question you have, I have to say, it's no longer being offered in Tijuana. 1970 was canceled, Mama Jill. And we'd tell you, Stormy, but you have no reason to know we're even talking about this point.
Yeah, please, don't tell her that way.
No.
Yeah. I have no idea, so I'm just listening intently.
She has a specific question we answered.
Well, okay. We'll give her a clue, and that's
you're starting trouble.
You're
starting trouble?
It involves a donkey.
Stormy's mom. Oh, geez. Stormy's mom's going to be over here. Smacking you right in the head.
It involves a donkey.
Oh, that's great. Well, that show was canceled in 1970 because we had a first female mayor in Tijuana, and she outlawed those shows altogether. So I'm hoping that nobody else knows. Let's find another subject here, okay?
Sure.
For God's sake.
That eager to get off the subject, huh?
Well, you know, I got to take into account, you know, who I'm talking to, and I have ladies on the phone here. You know, there's class and there's trash, and all the ladies on the phone tonight are all class. There's no trash in the phone, so I'm trying to keep it clean. In the presence of ladies, allow me to act like a gentleman, please.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Well, I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier about the victory, the major victory that we had in Boston.
That's a good
from
one,
the
yeah.
Supreme
That's
Court.
Good, yeah.
Where for those who videotape police and government officials, this guy was just to bring you up to speed, this guy was arrested and charged under the Massachusetts wiretap law when videotaping police making an arrest in a public place. The police were incorrect, and they violated his rights. When they arrested him, they also violated the wiretap law since his recording device was recording audio in addition to video in Boston. The U.S. Court of Appeals First Circuit said a citizen's right to film government officials, including law enforcement officers, in discharge of their duties in a public space is a basic, vital, and well-established liberty safeguarded by the First Amendment.
You know, safeguarding the First Amendment, I would like to challenge Stormy. When you do speak and you have younger people in the audience, remind them that this is their government. Remind them to get involved in their government to whatever level they can. Put a challenge out to the young teenagers you talk to. Don't let them leave the government in their parents' and grandparents' hands. You are never too early. You're never too young to get involved in what's going on in your government, especially in your local communities. So I'm going to challenge you, Stormy, please challenge your other young audiences, please.
And I put that link up in the chat room if you guys would like to check that out.
Well, I can't really speak for all of my friends about whether or not they'll vote, but I know that I'm going to be voting in the election coming up as soon as I turn 18.
Well, you know, Stormy, a lot of young people can become like aides to congressmen, senators. They can get involved in their own local city elections. When a new mayor gets elected here in Oceanside, Screwdriver and I make an appointment. We go down to his office and hold a meeting. I want to know what his positions are in my town. What's going on? Young people can become, they can get involved. And remember, it's like a training program. sorry, I was going to say training bra. It's like a training program.
You're talking about me?
It slipped out. It's like a training program now. They can get involved with. At this point in their
life. You know, there's ladies listening to the show here, Bill.
It slipped out, for God's sakes. The more education they can get with that, I encourage people, get involved. Don't think congressmen and senators are somebody special. They're not. They're just taxpayers like you and I. You need to hold them accountable. Young people need to get involved in their own local politics.
And also, Bill, there's a young guy. This is today's news. This is today's news published at 2:33 p.m., and this happened in Arizona, Bill. Marines Mesa fundraiser canceled amid controversy. What happened, Bill, was this guy, he was a Marine, former Marine, well, not on active duty, who claimed to have his motorcycle stolen, has canceled the event after learning that the veteran is facing criminal charges in connection with an assault.
I don't understand. He has a motorcycle stolen, so they're putting an event, and he's involved in some type of
assault.
Apples and oranges. What are we talking
about? Because he said he collected $2,000, but it's being returned to the donors. He said his motorcycle was stolen earlier this month.
All right.
The whole thing boils down to, Bill, he says right here, okay? He served one tour in Afghanistan and two in Iraq, and he said he didn't feel he deserved the fundraiser because he didn't think of himself as needy. He added that he didn't ask for the fundraiser and felt it somewhat pushed on him. He said he suffers from post-traumatic stress and admitted he has anger issues. So basically, they were going to give him a fundraiser to get him a new bike, and he beat up the guy that was going to do the fundraiser.
Well?
Because he said the event was being pushed on him. They were just paying him back for his service to the country.
Well, I can see both sides of the coin here.
Exactly.
Now, we have some people who want to help, but this guy doesn't want help. Again, I'm saying this not because I want to think I'm a nice guy. I am 63 years old. I don't collect Social Security. I don't collect anything. I don't collect welfare. I don't collect unemployment. I probably never will. Might change my life. I don't know. I work hard for my money. I don't want nothing from nobody. So I can see what that man's saying.
Mm-hmm.
In my whole life, I'll go back to when I was like the fourth grade. My father bought me a used bicycle. Fourth grade. That was it. Since then, I've worked for my life, everything. You had the same upbringing. What you have is what you work for.
My first bike was a used bike, too, Bill.
So I don't, I can see the man saying, I don't want to do it. If a Marine crashes his bike, Stormy, and it comes out of my motorcycle shop, he needs some parts. Payday's not for a week away. He has no money. I found out that if I offer some of my used parts to these young men and women for free, their pride will not let them take it. So what I do, in lieu of a payment, I ask them to come down on their next day off and clean up the used parts room.
Correct.
Now we're like a barter system. We're doing some, but some people, if I said, take the part, go ahead, they wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, kind of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours sort of thing.
Exactly. So everybody's different on that. Screwdriver and I are kind of really old school. We don't want nothing from nobody. We'll work ourselves.
And as Mama Jill says, and quoting Stormy here, she's going to please vote and get involved.
I hope so. I really hope so, because everybody makes a small little attempt to do something. You see, Stormy, we worry about you. Pretty much, I'm 63. What have I got left? I'm not that concerned about life. I'm healthy as a horse now. But I worry about my grandchildren. What world are they going to face as they get older? Stormy, I have no idea in the next 20 years if you're going to be able to recognize America. I don't know. I don't know if it's too late. I don't know if anybody can make any change. But I tell people, they got to get involved. Oh, we got another...
Well, I mean, with the way everything is, there really is no telling.
Yeah. Stormy, hang on 1 second. We got another person who wants to say hello to us. Who do we got on tonight? We got 978. Caller, you want to come in and tell us who you are and welcome to the show?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Bill, Phil, Stormy.
Oh, it's Pete. Pete Ava. Hello, Pete.
I was trying to reach Tomas from the hair salon, but I got the wrong number, I guess. What's happening?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, how are you doing?
From Boston. I'm sorry. I was waiting for another Pete to call in. Pete from Boston. We're always glad to hear you, brother.
Yes. Same here, Bill. I called in, the first thing I heard when I called in was training bra, so I thought I had the wrong number. I heard a training bra.
Slip out of my...
Then I heard Phil say something, so I knew I had the right number. I heard training bra. That's what I heard when I first called in. Training bra. And that and came out of your mouth, Bill.
I know. It's it came out of Phil's mouth. No one would have said anything. I'd make one little mistake, you know, and bang. Oh,
you know, it's like that guy who does the goats, Bill.
I don't know if it does any goats.
The goat herder.
You may have friends that does
goat herder.
None of my friends do
goats. The goat herder. He gets lonely.
My friends don't do sheep either.
He gets lonely out of the field one night. He does one goat, Bill. You know, he's a... You know what they call her after that, don't you?
Pete, listen.
Yeah.
Pete, I'm having a hard time this show. Tell me you're still out there, Pete.
Barely, but I'm here.
Now, I don't know. I want you to understand the pain I'm under. I have to put up with this thing all the time. He uses me.
Last Tuesday I was on, and I heard that somebody called you up and you told them you were naked.
No.
Now I
call
the night.
Yeah,
I
totally missed this conversation.
Pete,
I don't know what's
not
going on here.
But the last 15 minutes of every show, the screwdriver is naked. So for all the women,
that's what it was.
He just takes his off at 7:45 pony time, and he's naked. We have a little screen between us, so thank God I don't have to see, you know. But for all the women out there that talk to him.
Whatever you saw, Bill, I wouldn't want you to get scared.
Bill, I heard it was you.
I have to get that magnifying glass and tweezers, and that'd be, okay. So anyway, so any women talk, screwdriver's always here naked talking to everybody.
And we got another caller from 605, Bill.
605, jump in and help us, please.
Hey, what's happening, guys? This is Ryan.
Ryan, how are you?
Oh, doing good, man. Sorry, I was a little bit late calling in. We got tied up in a meeting. I just couldn't break away. I kind of wondered what the hell it is. I call in and I hear about somebody being naked on the show.
Got goats and you're tied up at the house. This show's going downhill quickly.
Sounds like a Howard Stern show to me.
What's going on today?
Goats, training bras, girls naked. Sounds like something Howard Stern would do.
I know.
So it's kind of that only Pete from Boston is the only sane one here. He's the only conservative one here.
Yeah, that's it. That's about it. Well, me and Stormy Montana, that's about it. We're the only two normal ones.
I heard Stormy. I wasn't sure if that was Stormy Montana or not. What's happened? I have not been on the show with you yet. How you doing, girl?
Good. How about you?
Doing good.
Good.
So what do we got going on tonight? I haven't heard any of the topics. Don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Training bras, being naked,
training
egg rolls.
Bras. I don't like them. As far as I'm concerned, we need to set them all free.
What, training bras?
No, what's the held in them? Ditch the bra.
Okay, all right, right on.
Ditch the boo. Yeah.
Well,
what do you think we got going on in the world?
I hope my mother's not listening to this show.
Uh-oh.
Listen, as a girl who wears a bra, she probably agrees. There is nothing fun about wearing a bra.
I got to tell you, I wore a bra for a day once. We did a benefit for breast cancer, and I got the American Cancer Society to give me a pair of double D. I wore them for a day, and tell you what, that was the worst thing ever.
Are you still there?
Yep.
See, Bill got so excited about me being naked at 7:45, he hit one of the buttons and lost the call.
No, I wouldn't say I was excited, but what you do with your goats is your business.
Okay. Anyway, Brian, just to give you an update, we started out with Marines farting. The Pentagon says they can't do it. We went to Boston.
Cameras.
Boston, where Pete, I'm sure you know about this, where the Supreme Court of Massachusetts said it's not illegal to film the police.
Okay.
And you're
finally able to do that legally now.
Exactly.
They can't take it away from you.
So, well, I got a question for you then. Of course, I don't know the whole story on that, but I'm going to jump right in the middle of this with both feet, and I'm either going to bury myself or have a good point. Why the hell is it, as a private citizen, you go to Walmart, Albertson, King Supers, anywhere, and you're videotaped all the damn time, and you can't do anything about it? But somebody that's a public official that is videotaping you and most of the time recording sound, you're not allowed to film them. What the hell kind of double jeopardy shit is that? Or, you know, that's bullshit.
It was just our government.
And they lose the effect of intimidation.
Intimidation. You want me to just say that?
Back it up with.
That's right, exactly. Intimidation is illegal. You have to make a stand.
The first report about the Marines being told not to fart in public was on the front page. It was on the front page. Wait, it was on the front.
Don't we have better things in the world to worry about than Marines passing gas?
That's true, because one of our friends got killed last weekend. He didn't even make it to the obituaries in the back of the paper. And on the front page of the paper I'm holding right now, yesterday's paper, report says Marines told to mind audible omissions.
Audible omissions.
That's correct.
Telling your Marines that they need to cause themselves bad health because isn't suppressing that gas bad for your internal organs?
Well, I got news for you.
Technically?
I got news for you. In the Marine Corps, it's kind of a tradition.
Yeah.
You see, and then they'd have fart contests with a Bic lighter to see who could shoot the longest flame out of their ass.
Mm-hmm. Look at me, I was in the Army. We Army people didn't do that.
Something like that on 1,000 Ways to Die on TV.
Hey, where's Jill? Jill isn't calling in?
Call in already.
She called in already?
She's
in the chat room right now, though.
I know, I see it. Too bad I missed her.
She talked for a few minutes, like, right after I called in. She had been on.
Caller from our neck of the woods, Bill.
We got another caller. We want to jump in the show real quick because we don't want to lose everybody because it's like a 9.
Hello.
Who do we got on 760-201? Caller, come in. Tell us who you are, where you're from, please.
This is Mrs. Kennedy. Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh my God, my wife! Quick, by the way, let me.
Yeah, we're talking about training bras and getting naked, and this is radio, right? God.
Yeah.
I don't have a camera, man. I'm missing out on the action.
I sent you the
picture. Honey, it's past your bedtime now. You need to go and get to sleep now. I mean, No.
We need to ask her opinion on all this.
Kathy, this will be our first double show tonight, the first time we're going to try it. So instead of going 6 to 8 California time, the second show will be 8 to 10. So I'll be home by 11 or midnight tonight.
This will
tonight,
be over your dead body, right?
Wow.
But even that's...
Right, Phil? Either it's over your dead body or over Phil's dead body, which is...
Or his naked dead body.
Yeah, right. So, and I got to come see this screen. I don't believe it.
And screwdriver will be naked. Hang on one
second. I'm having too much fun listening to this other junk going on.
Bill said we try to be political.
It's just the show takes a life.
Sometimes we're politically incorrect.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. There were a lot of gaps, and so I thought I'd jump in and just ask what's going on with the naked and the training bra and the... You know.
That's my fault, actually. I started all that.
It's kind of a topic, really.
The guy from Boston.
We're going away with bras and training bras all together, and everybody's just going to get naked. That way we just have one topic to deal with.
There you go.
Well,
I thought everybody was doing that already, so.
Yeah, that's kind of
what I was
thinking.
The question is whether or not Bill answers the phone in his underwear. That was the...
Oh, my God.
Or naked, one of the two.
He's got some pretty sexy underwear, too, so enough said. I'm going to jump off. Honey,
like
call me before you leave, Phil.
Everybody, I want you to meet my wife. Everybody want to say hello to my wife, Kathy?
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to leave you now. Bill, call me before you leave the show.
Listen right now. Let me tell you something. I'm a man. I'll go home when I'm damn good and ready. You hear me?
Yeah, but your wife's hungry, so give me a call before you leave.
I'll be home right after the show.
Yeah, you be the man, but call me, okay?
That
was a typical Kennedy for you.
Good night.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night, Kathy.
Good night.
right, now you started it.
I don't know. By the way, my wife is C-A-T-H-I-E. That's Kathy with a C. And she wants me to call before I go home. I don't have a clue what I've done wrong yet.
Actually, she said she was hungry, Bill.
Oh, then I'm not in trouble at all. If she, I wonder if she's on the air.
You will be if you don't bring her something to eat.
That's right.
Stormy Pete, I think she's off the air now. I'm going to tell you something. In my motorcycle area, the garage, I have my tool shed. She never goes in my toolbox. I keep extra presents in my toolbox for when I forget it's anniversary. I don't know what the hell thing is going on, but it seemed to be important to my wife.
Shame on you.
It's a great idea. She wakes me up in the morning and says, guess what day it is? And I go, I don't know.
Time for me to give you a present.
I run out to the garage and I, surprise. Well, I sleep au naturel, but that's
Here we go.
But no, that's how I survive. I keep anniversary cards. Stormy, does that seem a good idea to you? The husband should have extra presents and a bit, you know, anniversary cards. I think it's a good idea.
You ought to be
in case you
can afford
to plan it. But I think you should try and make an attempt to go and get something different every year instead of having to depend on your supplies. Is that what you do?
No, I've got assorted jewelry. I've got some rings. I got some bracelets. Well, then the motorcycle in my tool shed in there, in my toolbox, excuse me,
so it's
locked
like
in there.
A jewelry store in a toolbox.
Listen, when you're married, it's like a minefield. You got to kind of walk around everything. So I try to be prepared, you know?
Oh, man. Hide like a rose garden somewhere in case y'all get in a fight. That way you won't have to go buy flowers. You can just go outside and cut some off.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, Pete.
Do you keep training bras in your toolbox?
I might not. Now, see, if screwdriver said that, no one would say nothing. A little slip of the tongue, and I got to hear this, you know. No, I want to tell you, Pete, if I can't leave a training bra anywhere in my house, I might as well just keep on going. Because if she found something in my truck, I might as well just keep on going.
Well,
I may be out to visit you if it ever happened to me, Pete. Sense of humor.
You know, Bill, I just got asked a question, and it came out the other day that all the first responders to 9/11 weren't allowed to go to the ceremony.
Well, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's a damn shame.
They just told them they weren't invited.
Once again,
that's where we're going. That's the road we're going down.
That's what we talk about time to time, you know. Stuff like that, you know, I'm
that
happy
won't
to
allow mood. All the first responders to go there, the people that saved a lot of people's lives and cleaned up
right
that
here.
Mess, but they'll let them build a mosque like 20 feet
on
away
the flip
from
side
it.
To that, on the flip side to that, all the 9/11 celebration things and fundraisers and everything, nobody knows where the money's at.
A lot of money's been misappropriated.
Anybody
probably
that has
wherever Obama's taking a vacation at.
Well, his wife just spent since he's been president, she spent $12 million on vacations.
If anybody does have extra money, don't forget his uncle.
No.
The president's uncle. He needs a few extra bucks, you know.
He's not going anywhere.
He's getting arrested again.
No, he's on an immigration. He's on an immigration hold.
Okay.
But, and anybody that has a 501 status.
Yes.
By rights, and according to the laws of that status, they only have to give how much to the charity, Bill? Do you remember? I told you.
You did tell me. And as most of the things you say to me, I can't forget. Was it around 10% maybe?
That's correct.
Ish?
That's correct.
That was a lucky guess, guys.
So if they raised $100,000 for cancer research, they give them $10,000. So nobody knows where the money was.
And, you know, Stormy, we talked about that. Please do not get your name soiled with bad programs. Take the time and have your mama, whatever, check these programs out. Because you can do 100 good shows and do one bad show, and people remember you were involved in that one bad show. Keep your name clear. Screwdriver and I go through extra, extra lengths to make sure the people are helping out. All the money goes to those people.
Well, you know, Bill, that's like that.
And
that's
kind
like
of
that.
Another point, another striking point with, like, the police and the feds and all of those really special people, why don't they, instead of focusing on y'all, people who are doing absolutely nothing wrong, just riding your bikes around and stuff like that, why don't they focus on the idiots that are raising all of this money for good charities and then spending it on themselves? I mean, isn't that false advertising, and isn't that against the law?
They call it white-collar crime. They do the most easiest time there is time for time.
Because they've been harassed for years, and it will never end.
Bikers have been harassed
1901.
There you go. If that's not,
if Jesus Christ was on a motorcycle, he would have been pulled over every day.
Dean, I want to tell you, last night, I told everybody earlier, I left, I worked, and I went up to a funeral last night. About a mile from the funeral, we had two cop cars staging. A few blocks from the funeral, we had several motorcycle cops staging. They're watching us and recording us at a funeral. When we're not having a dance, we're not having a party, we're just burying a brother. But even that, we have police lined up taking pictures of it. A funeral. What the hell damage am I doing? Who am I hurting by going to a funeral? Saying goodbye to a brother. And yet they're all over the place.
Well, you know, Bill, it's just like this, okay? You know how we talk about motorcycle-only checkpoints all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A few years ago, you never heard of it. Now, because we're being singled out as a group and profiled for stops by police and cited for subjective equipment and other violations, they're using the key word there, safety. If somebody says it's a safety issue at work, the whole job stops.
Okay? Right, semantics.
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 Right? But many of these stops and checkpoints are illegal. So the grant money that they get from their state to do these things,
yes,
they're told that it's a safety issue. The media puts it down as a safety issue, when in the backside, or flip side, as you want to say,
yep,
it's motorcycle enforcement.
No, it's the same thing again. We're using different words. People like Stormy have to get together, encourage more young people, get involved in your community. That's, I keep saying that.
Well, it's just so stupid for them to be chasing all of y'all thinking y'all are such bad guys, while in between getting pulled over by those idiots, y'all are going on benefit runs to help children
they
and
pull
cancer
over to benefit
patients.
Pull over to benefit runs because they don't like the way some of the people look at doing the benefit. We went to one up in Orange County.
Which one of the many ones you go? You're talking
one
about?
Of the many ones, we get, the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, yeah.
Rusty and T-Rod were the grand marshals, and they waited till a half hour before all the people were going to go. How many people were there, about 4,000, 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to get involved and get on their bikes and leave, and a half hour before we're ready to leave, they came and told him he can't wear his colors.
After being invited by that organization, raising a lot of money for the organization.
I'd come up and pull them behind the bike. Like you do on cans, whenever somebody just gets married, just pull them behind the bike for entertainment value. I mean, that's stupid of them to be like that. Y'all are doing nothing wrong. Y'all are doing benefits for the boys in town, boys and girls.
You know, Stormy, I want to tell you that we do a lot of different programs, and this one organization, I'm going to be nice to them tonight. I'm not going to say who they are. A major, major organization to help children. We have a lot of that were dancers. And they work in dance clubs, strip clubs, okay? They said, Bill, we'd like to raise some money for the dancers and give to this above organization to help the children. I contacted the organization. I met with the board of directors, and they said, Mr. Kennedy, we don't want their money because we'll get the stigma of dancers, strippers from the nightclub.
Yeah, they don't want the association.
Yeah. And these girls, like one guy owned five or six nightclubs, whatever, the girls want to pull together. They were trying to get publicity for the nightclubs. They just said, Bill, can we do something to help? And I had to say,
No,
unless you want to make anonymous donations somewhere and blah, blah, blah. But these are people who want to help. And yet we're putting a label on them. What are they doing illegal? We're giving them license, aren't we?
Right.
We're saying it's okay what they're doing.
Well, you know, Bill, that's like in Sweden. They just came out with a poll tax.
Poll tax?
Poll tax. They're charging 6 euros per night, which is $8.32 U.S., to tax the prostitutes walking on the street.
No. Well, I think I'm paying taxes. They should pay taxes. I'm all for the equal rights stuff. I'm telling you right now. I'm definitely on that. But, you know, I don't know much about the nightclubs. Like, now, Pete from Boston, he's probably an old nightclubber himself. I mean, a strip clubber, you know, all that. I don't get out that often, so, you know. Pete, how do you feel if we put a tax on the dancers and the strippers and the...
That's ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you one a little more ridiculous than that. You know, there's a class action lawsuit in Florida.
So, what if they put taxes on training bras, Bill? What are you going to do?
I'll give you that one.
Pete, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Listen to this one. There's a class action lawsuit in Florida. The Florida Highway Patrol was illegally giving tickets to motorists who flipped their lights to let the cars go the other way, that the cops were running a radar thing. They pulled them over for speeding, but people, you know, flicked their highlights coming the other way to tell you that they're there. So now they're pulling them over and arresting them.
That's bull.
It's funny that you brought that up, honestly, because I was coming home today with my brother, and there was a cop hiding at one town over, and I was flicking my high beams to slow people down, to warn them. And I said to my brother, I said, if we were to get pulled over for that, how could they actually prove that that's why we were flashing our lights? What if there was a loose wire in the headlights? What if we were just playing with our headlights, you know? That's stupid.
Yeah.
Pete, let me ask you something.
You were playing with headlights because you didn't imagine in the training bra, is that what it was?
No, Pete, let me ask something. I only found... Now, I'm not a hog member. Believe me, I'm the farthest thing from a hog member. For a long time, I'd be riding down the road, and a hog-type person or a gold-wing rider would take their hand and pat the top of their helmet. I had no idea what the hell they were doing, so I had to stop somebody. And they told me that's a signal there's a cop ahead. I didn't know that, Pete.
I didn't know it either, so you just told me.
And they had you go by.
That's because they're hog members, you know what I mean? That's why they're hog members.
How many are you going to talk to? Yeah, you know. This is America. Everybody's got a right to be what they want. Just, no.
You know, it's all right as long as they don't have a training bar wrapped around their head riding down the road. Then they might be safe. Bill,
I'm going to come to California sometime, Pete. I'm going to make sure you have a good time.
Bill, come on. You know you're always welcome here in Boston. It's only 2,000 miles away. I can't leave the state right now.
They have plenty of training bras there.
Yeah. Oh, he keeps them in his toolbox, so he's all set.
If my wife found a training bra in my garage, I'd be out visiting you next week, Pete, because that's the first way I could get away from my wife would be Boston, I think.
Yeah. You don't want to come here. We've had too many earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes within the past week.
Oh, it just scares me, the East Coast. I like being safe here in California. I don't know if I'd be safe. I'd be scared back there.
Well, you know, Bill, on the ocean today.
Oh, the waves today.
Exactly.
Did you drive? Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, rub it in.
It was beautiful.
Well, you get 2 minutes, guys.
Something to say to us, Gina? What did you share? Gina.
I was coming in from Costa Mesa down the line, the 5 corridor and stuff, and coming across Camp Pendleton, the ocean was gorgeous. The waves were huge. So I cruised down into Oceanside downtown.
Yes.
Well, the Strand, which is a road that runs along the ocean.
Waves came up?
The waves were
amazing.
Crashing in and going over the rocks onto the... So the best thing about that whole ride in was that you could just smell the salt.
Yeah.
The ocean water.
Yeah, something important. Because, Pete, I'm from Boston, like I told you many times. The ocean in Boston, it's saltier. It smells saltier. And I don't know if anybody else can... I come to, California. I don't get that same salt context. You think that's just my imagination? You're Chicago. You don't know shit about an ocean.
Pollution, man. That's Massachusetts pollution. That's what that is that you're tasting.
Pollution of the East Coast. That could be too,
Telling you, that's what it is.
Okay.
Every now and then
it makes
you
sense.
Can smell it. There's nothing better than the water and the strawberries.
Oh, my God.
That smell right there. Mm.
Well, Bill. Hey, you guys, we're down to the last 90 seconds. I'm going to take us out with
You know what our favorite song is?
No.
About the Red and White Boy from Europe, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm going to take us out with Forever Angel. I invite you guys to call back in Tuesday. And thanks for being there. Jill, I unmuted you, but you hung up.
This is a good friend of ours from Europe. Red and White Boy's got some nice music out.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take this out with Forever Angel, and thanks everybody for being here.
Thank you.
I have to call my wife.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, call me.
Made you
Kennedy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. No matter what you're riding, ride free.